Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight, what I want to do is I want to pick up where we left off. I'm literally just going to pick up in the notes where we left off. I want to talk to you about mountain-moving faith. And the verse that we're going to culminate in is, have faith in, or parentheses, of God, Jesus answered. So this is a lot of scholars would say of God makes more sense in the context of it, and even in the interpretation of the Greek language. So have faith of God. I tell you the truth, and let me just say this, faith of God, faith comes from God, it doesn't come from us. So even when we're saved, the faith that you have, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God so that no man can boast, right? Ephesians 2:8. So faith, whether it's faith that saves us or faith that works through us, is not from us. It doesn't originate us in us. We don't generate faith. I think this is a place where a lot of Christians misunderstand how faith works. They're trying to build themselves into a place of faith, often through what they say, maybe some of the things they do, like I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then my faith will be strong. But honestly, faith is something only God can give you and wants to give you. So Jesus says, have faith of God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Now, this is a concept that Jesus will share in Matthew chapter 17 in another situation unrelated to this situation. It's a concept he'll share in Luke chapter 17 and verse 6. He uses very similar wording because this is something Jesus wanted you and I to get a hold of in our life. That there is a place in the life of the believer where God can and does impart faith to us, and he can do it momentarily at any point that he wants. But what Jesus is talking about is a lifestyle of faith that brings about the purpose of God in our life and in the lives of others. Therefore, I tell you, verse 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you are receiving, and that's a better translation than have received, that when you're asking it in prayer, God is at work. That you are receiving it, and it will be yours. For most of us in the room, we struggle at times with how come some things haven't happened in our life that we had prayed for. And we look at our life and we say, and I would say this, James River is very unusual, but not everybody's been healed. And I believe God wants to see more people healed when we pray, and he wants to do greater things than we have already seen. I think all those things are true. But the fact of the matter is, we may talk about faith, we may sing about faith, we may preach about faith, but it's a spiritual vocabulary that many times lacks spiritual power. It's language, but it's not power. And I know that might be hard for some to accept, but let's be honest and let's stop pretending and let's stop spiritualizing passages and let's stop talking about reasons why God doesn't heal, and let's say, what do I need to do to be in a place where I see more of God's power do more through me for his glory? Now, the purpose of this is not to, first of all, discourage you and make you feel like, well, if you don't feel you have faith or you don't have faith, there's no use to pray. That's not true. Prayer, God answers prayer. And there have been times where I have prayed for somebody and I can't say I felt a lot in my heart relative to faith, but God answered the prayer. Second, there are some, and you're looking back through your life and you're thinking of times where maybe you know you didn't have faith, or you thought you had faith that didn't happen, or you look back and you say, you know, I know I didn't have faith, and you're beating yourself up over it. Listen, the will of God for you and the understanding of God's purposes in your life is not going to be found in the past. It's going to be found in the present and moving forward, okay? So we're not here to beat up on anybody. We're not here to make anybody feel bad. What we're here to do is to all of us, you're here at the prayer meeting because you want to pray effectively. You want to pray powerfully. That's the will of God for you. So what we're talking about are things that can help us do that, okay? Because I believe God is moving us forward in some extraordinary ways. I just see it in so many different parts of the church. And this is one of the areas I believe God wants all of us to grow. Now, the background for this, it will help us to understand what he's saying here if we go into the background. So let's go back a few verses, Mark 11, 12. The next day as they were leaving Bethany. So Bethany is 2 miles east of Jerusalem. You go up over the Mount of Olives and you go down a slope and you come to Bethphage and Bethany. Bethany is the village where Lazarus, Martha and Mary, where they live. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And so when Jesus is going up to celebrate Passover, because Jerusalem's so packed, he stays out in Bethany, probably with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He has a place to rest. He can be there. He makes a 2-mile journey into the city to teach. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. The day before this, chronologically, was Palm Sunday or Palm Monday, depending on how you view the chronology. But Jesus now, he came into Jerusalem. He went into the temple. He looked around. He saw the money changers. The time was late. And so he went back to Bethany, but he is on a mission. He's going to go in and cleanse the temple. He's going to grab a whip, and he's going to drive out the money changers. That's what's on his agenda as he's saying this. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. You're like, whoa, I know we're going to cleanse the temple, but is this just a bad day? I mean, Jesus, did you get up grumpy? I mean, because it just seems like it's not fair. Why would you curse a tree when it's not the season for fruit and it didn't have fruit? The thing we don't understand is how to grow figs. We don't have any probably fig farmers here who can enlighten us, so I'm going to do my best to help you understand it. One of the unusual things about a fig tree is that it will shoot the bud for the fruit before it shoots the leaves. So here's a picture of it. You can see it right there. So you have the fruit, the fig, and then the leaf isn't even out yet. Then what happens is as the leaves come out, the fruit still is not ripe. So the bud is beginning to grow. Now it's developing into fruit. And that would be probably right in April, the time we're talking about. April's the time of Passover. So now the tree has leaves. Most fig trees would have fruit. So when Jesus, he's expecting to see that. By September, the fruit looks like this. It's much bigger, but that gives you an idea of what the fruit looks like in September. The fact of the matter is, you could go and eat those buds, the fruit that's not developed yet, and it wouldn't be the best tasting thing in the world. But if you were really hungry, it could help with your hunger, and it could give you some sustenance out of that. So when Jesus goes to the tree and he sees it doesn't have any fruit, what does that tell us? Something's wrong with the tree. The tree is diseased. The tree is not right. It's never going to produce fruit. And remember, he's going to the temple. And so the tree becomes an illustration of the Jewish temple, which is a picture of religion gone bad. It has a lot of leaves. It just doesn't have any fruit. And Jesus is going to go in and he's going to drive the money changers out. And essentially, is going to put a curse on the temple. And by the end of the week, temple worship, even though it will continue on for a few decades, temple worship no longer will lead people to God. Why? Because Jesus now is the way and the truth and the life. He is the way to God. So it's springtime. Mark 11 and verse 13 says this: seeing the distance, a fig tree and leaf, he went out to find if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for fruit. And then the next morning, so he goes into the temple, cleanses it. They go back. It's probably late. They don't notice the tree. But in the morning, they're going back into Jerusalem because now he's going to teach. The temple having been cleansed, he's going to go teach in the temple. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Now, I don't know how many people think about trees, but trees don't die from the roots. They die from the top. I mean, the roots can be damaged, but you'll see the death from the top. So when we bought the place where we lived, there were several oak trees, and they were dead up in the tops, and arborists were saying, listen, those trees are going to die. It's just a matter of time because they're dying from the top down, and that's exactly what happened. Here, this happens overnight. The fig tree withers from the roots instead of from the top down. Peter remembered and said, Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And now comes the lesson. Jesus says in verse 22, have faith of God. In other words, have the kind of faith. What kind of faith does God have? God has faith that declares it and it's done. When you have God's faith, when you're operating in his faith, there's a confidence, there's a certainty, there's a vitality, there's a calmness that knows the will of God, speaks the will of God, and accomplishes the will of God. That's what he's saying. He's saying to the disciples, you can do what I did if you have the faith that I have. Faith in God does not mean we believe he can. Faith in God believes he will. So, you know, there are times when faith and belief are used interchangeably in the Bible, but by and large, belief in many instances, especially with the boy that's the epileptic, Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. And again, you get in that statement, the definition, there's a possibility that belief brings. But there's a certainty that faith brings. The man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So when we're talking about faith, we're talking about a certainty. I'm going to give you a little definition of faith here. Faith is God in the soul operating by his son and transforming the natural into the supernatural. Faith is the glorious knowledge of a personal presence within you, changing you from strength to strength and glory to glory until you get to the place where you walk with God and God thinks and speaks through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith is evidenced by a perfect peace in the heart and complete conviction in the soul that God's word is true and he will do it. So you don't have to work yourself. Faith is not emotion. Faith is not enthusiasm. Faith is you and I, because it's from God. You and I can't work ourselves into a state of faith by the things we say. You know, I believe, I believe, I believe. That's not going to get you there. So we have to recognize this is something God has to do in us. And it comes, as we said last time, from abiding in Christ, getting really close to Jesus. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, getting really deep in his word, ask whatever you will and it be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. This brings God glory. So again, it gives us an insight into faith. Faith is not about you. It's not about me. It's not even really about what we need. It's about glorifying the Father, and God meeting our needs is the purpose of him glorifying. It's not to make you look good, not to make you look spiritual, not to, you know, and a lot of times it's hard for us to sort that out, but we've got to be clear. Faith is about glorifying the Father. And if ever you and I are operating in a sense where we're more aware of ourselves And we're more concerned about what people are gonna think, what about this, what about that. If that's where we're at, that's not faith. And I'm not saying God won't answer prayer. I'm just saying, let's be clear, that's not faith. Because what people can do is they can say, well, you know, I believed and I had faith. Well, no, if you did, it would have happened. So let's not blame God. Let's say, you know what? I didn't have faith. And then let's do what the disciples did in Matthew 17. Let's go to Jesus and say, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And you'll be surprised what he'll tell you that will help you on your journey toward a more perfect faith. Now, let me say this. Faith like we're talking about here is not developed. I mean, there's the supernatural gift of faith where faith comes on you in an instant and God does something. And that's wonderful. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I will never discount that anybody in this room could in a moment have the Spirit of God come on you, give you the gift of faith, and you could pray with such authority like you've never known in your life and such faith as you've never known in your life. At the same time, God has for us a level of walking with him by faith where we regularly see him work in our lives, the supernatural, for his glory and the good and the deliverance of people around us. What I'm saying is, don't wait until you need faith to develop that kind of faith. The hardest time to develop that kind of faith is when your loved one is in the biggest fight of their life physically. Better to develop the faith before, so when you need it, it's there to minister to whomever, however. Now back to Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God, or have faith of God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea. So there's a place where faith declares what's going to happen. This is why I would suggest to you that when you read the Bible, very few healings happen because somebody prayed. Now, I'm not saying they don't happen because people prayed, but James chapter 5 is probably the highlight of praying for people to be healed. But if you follow the apostles, if you follow Jesus, if you follow the book of Acts, the healings come because people commanded, people spoke, be healed in the name of Jesus. If anyone says to this mountain, there is something about the power, faith declares the will of God and the power of God in a situation that brings about the answer from God. Are you with me on that? That's why we command healing. It is as well, and I just want to suggest to you, this is a statement on the authority that you and I have as believers. And so I'm going to digress just briefly, because on the one hand, we need to grow in our faith. On the other hand, we need to recognize our authority. And I don't think a lot of Christians understand the authority that we have over the powers of darkness, over demons, over death, over every power of the enemy. In 1 John chapter 4 in verse 3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Who's that? Every spirit. That's great news. Because much of sickness has demonic activity behind it, a spirit of infirmity. People are oppressed by the devil in a variety of ways. That can include all kinds of emotional issues. I'm not saying every emotional issue is demonic, but I'm saying some are. And we all understand the enemy can attack us, and he knows how to attack us at our point of weakness. And the only way you're going to be able to deal with that in the life of a loved one or the or person you're praying for is to recognize in that moment you have authority in the name of Jesus over the powers of darkness. You are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The source of our authority is that as we're standing there, Christ in us gives us the authority over the powers of darkness. Faith in God, power with God, and the exercise of divine authority all depend on our knowledge of the Word. We have to know this and believe it and have it in our mind so that as we're praying, we're like, if we sense the power of darkness, we're not afraid. We're like, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen here. No, that spirit has to go in Jesus' name, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And it starts with faith, and we'll never do more than our faith will allow, but we've got to have this understanding of authority. In 1 John 5:4, I love this, for everyone who's born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So there's authority and there's faith. Now back to Mark 11:23. I tell you the truth, if anyone says this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. Anything that appears to be a mountain can be moved. That could be mountains of addiction. It could be a mountain of depression. It could be a mountain of illness. It could be a mountain of difficulty. Some of you are facing a mountain, and that mountain can be moved. But you have to be certain. Faith doesn't traffic in the, I hope it all works out. That's not faith. That isn't even really hope. Hope is an expectation of the goodness of God in our life. That's what biblical hope is. Biblical hope isn't, well, I hope God does something. That's not even hope. That's wishing. That's like, when I wish upon a star. You know, I mean, that's kind of what you're doing there. Faith, on the other hand, has a word from God, and because it's a word from God, because God has made a word alive to you, or God has put in you a word in that moment, there's a confidence and a quietness and a peace that says God's will must happen. God will do this. Your mountain can be moved, but you have to be certain. You have to know without a doubt it must be so, and you have to stand in faith on the word of God, because God's word will never be defeated. Now, here's something that trips a lot of people up. Well, I just wonder if it's the will of God. Listen, if it's not in heaven, it shouldn't be on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's his will? On earth as it is in heaven. So whatever we got in heaven, that's what he wants us. So the idea of what happens is a lot of people, well, I wonder this, I wonder that, have all these questions. And listen, your faith will stop at the question mark of your question. Your faith is never gonna go beyond your questions. When a person is filled with questions, let me say this, it can lead to doubt very clearly. It's not wrong to ask the questions, but you have to at some point decide, I'm in or I'm out. My questions are not for now. I am dialed in on what God is wanting to do. And I'm just simply saying very few people will either aspire to live there or attain it, because there is a drawing closer to God than you've ever been in your life that's a part of this. This is an invitation from God to know him in a way very few people have, but everybody can. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be able to sing like the people on the platform. God is speaking to this church, and we've seen over 6,000 miracles of healing, but God is working in our lives to draw us closer to him, that we might be a greater reflection of who he is to this world and to the people we come in contact with. Verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you are receiving it, and it will be yours. Believe that it's happening right now. You say, well, I just wish I could feel it, because if I could feel it, listen, your feelings can lead you astray. A lot of times people feel they have faith, and it wasn't faith at all. It was zeal, it was enthusiasm, it was desperation, it was a personal intensity or a fervor. And listen, all those things can be fine, but they're not faith. And we have to believe, we have to base what we believe on the Word of God. Now, I'm gonna read you a couple stories, then we're gonna close. Two stories on faith. These happen to be out of Smith Wigglesworth. I could read you 1,000 of them because there are hundreds of stories about what he did. But this will give you an idea of how faith interacted in his ministry. So the first story, a man came to me for whom I prayed, and then I asked, "Are you sure you are perfectly healed?" He said, "Well, there is a little pain in my shoulder." "Do you know what that is?" I asked him. "That is unbelief." "Were you saved before you believed or after?" "After," the man said. "You'll be healed after then." Then the man said, "Oh my, it's all right now." Smith said it was all right before, but he hadn't yet believed. Sometimes, so when you're standing, you gotta believe. You gotta say, "I'm in." Not, "I hope this works. I wonder if this is gonna work. I wonder," you've got to rest in the fact that, hey, there was a word of knowledge. Somebody was healed. God is doing that in the church, and God wants to heal you. Number two, there was a woman sick and near death. She sent for me. I went with a mission leader to her house. There she was, lying in bed, dying. The Lord revealed to me that nothing could save her except his power. I bent near her. She said, "I have faith, I have faith." She repeated this continually, "I have faith." Now, this may sound rough, but sometimes there's a place for honesty. Can we all agree on that? I said, "You have no faith. You are dying and you know it. You have only words." I asked her, "Do you want to live?" She said, "Yes, but I have no power." The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I said, "In the name of Jesus." Then the Spirit of God raised her up. Faith is actively refusing the power of the devil. It's not merely saying words. You must have an active faith refusing the conditions in Jesus' name. Now that's just two examples of, you know, here's a lady who's dying and she's saying, "I have faith, I have faith." Obviously, what she thought was faith wasn't. What she needed was the power of the Lord and a person of faith to come in and be used by God to raise her up, and she was instantly. Now, I know as I'm talking to this group, we're gonna close here, that there's a continuum of, you know, we're all on this journey of faith. Some are just getting started. And for you, I say, good on you. That's great. I wish I would have heard some of these things early in my life. It would have helped me. Some of you are in a place where you're having to undo things that you theologically have heard because it's not correct. Listen, now let's be honest. The Bible's the Bible. I don't have, you know, I grew up in Pentecost, and a lot of this was pilloried by people who didn't know what they were talking about. I'm just gonna be honest with you, because the Bible, let God be true and every man a liar. And if Jesus says something 3 times on 3 different occasions, then we know Jesus really wants us to get that. But a lot of Christians talk around it and they have language, but they don't have faith, and they convolute it and they water it down, and they'd rather sit around in a circle and talk about why God doesn't heal rather than, which the scripture doesn't give a lot of time to that. Because the scripture expects God will heal. And we just need a paradigm shift. And you're here tonight because you want that. You've stayed at the church through what was a controversial season because you sensed the presence of God and you said, "God is here, people are getting saved, and I want to be in the presence of the Lord. And I want to grow in my experience of his work in my life, and I want to grow in my ability to be used by him to see a lost and dying world come to know him and be delivered from the power of the enemy." Right? That's why we're here. Right? So, you're in the right place, and God wants to touch you, and God wants to do something powerful in you. And I believe these messages, I didn't think about it when I was doing all this, but I think they've come at a really perfect time with the fast, because it gives us something to think about, to meditate on, to pray about as we go into the fast. Lord, just use me like you've never used me before. And Lord, whatever needs to happen in my life to cultivate this supernatural faith. I know it comes from you, but Lord, my heart is open. I want what you have for me, Ryan. The same faith that saves you is the same faith God uses to do whatever he does through you. It's all the same. It's from God. It's by grace through faith.